maybe it'd be good if we just stop with that for this morning. I've titled my message this morning, Peace in Surrender. I'm supposed to have a Thanksgiving message today. And I'm going to use a scripture that we normally use for Thanksgiving messages. Thanksgiving is going to be in it. But there's some other things we like to notice in there. I have a book here called The Circle Maker. I don't know how many of you read this book by Mark Batterson. And in this book, he shares a story, and for the sake of time, I'm going to read the last paragraph, and he talks about prayer. And he talks about when we want an answer, and he calls it circling around. Sometimes we circle around and we continue to pray and pray. Like Lisa said this morning, where there's something that you can't find or something that we need. We continue to seek God in prayer. The last paragraph says, the last couple of paragraphs. Over the past year, I've been repeating one prayer with great frequency. Lord, do something unpredictable and uncontrollable. That's a scary prayer, especially for a control freak like me. But it doesn't scare me nearly as much as if as a life void of holy surprises. And I want you to catch the next part here. And you can't have it both ways. If you want God to surprise you, you have to give up control. You lose a measure of predictability, but you will begin to see God move in uncontrollable ways. Anything could happen, any place, any time. The thing that I want us to catch out of that is we let go and we see what God does. You and I'm sure, are the same. We pray and we want God to move in a way that satisfies us. That's just being honest. When I pray to God, I'm expecting God, what I ask of you, you do because it's what I think is best. Turn in your Bibles to Luke 17. Luke 17 is a story about Jesus healing 10 lepers. And that is the part that we normally use here when it comes to Thanksgiving, not normally, but sometimes we use this story because there was a leper that came back and he gave thanks. And it's a good story to use. It's a very good story to use. But we're going to dig in a little bit deeper this morning. We're going to begin with verse 1 in Luke 17. So Jesus has the disciples around him here. And he says to the disciples, it's impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. So the offenses he's talking about here are stumbling blocks. It's impossible. There's going to be stumbling blocks when you associate with other believers. Matthew 18 gives us a lot of direction on how to deal with stumbling blocks, how to deal with issues. But it says it's going to happen. He says it would be better for him that a millstone were hanged around his neck, the one who caused the downfall. It would be better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. So this picture of this millstone is basically just a picture of, it probably would have been better if he wouldn't have been born. We had at our house where I was growing up, we had a very, very large stone out by the driveway. It was laying flat. It was a millstone. And they would take two of those and they would put them together and they would turn opposite directions. And they would grind the wheat. They're very, very heavy. So the picture he gives here is this guy that gets this millstone around his neck, he has no opportunity of survival. So it would be better if this millstone were put about his neck than causing an offense. But then he goes on a little bit and he says, if something happens against you, forgive. And I don't think that was so hard for the disciples. But then he comes to verse 4 and it says, if it happens 7 times, you continue to forgive. And I've got a feeling this was difficult for the disciples. Because this is where the disciples then come to Jesus and they say, increase our faith. What are they trying to say? Increase our faith. Then Jesus tells them in verse 6, he talks about faith for a little bit. He says, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. He was giving them a picture of what was happening in their day or something they get tied with. The sycamine tree had some very, very deep roots. It was not easily taken up. But he said, if you had even a small amount of faith. And then he tells them a story in verse 7. He says, which of you, having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not, or I don't think so. So likewise, when you shall have done all these things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable. We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty. So he's given them this story here, telling them, there's a master, there's a servant. The servant was hired to work for the master. So he goes out and he works all day long. The master comes home and he sits down, and the servant is to go serve him. I'll be honest with you, I struggle with this one for a little bit. Be fair to this servant. He worked all day for you, and you come home and you're going to sit down and you're going to ask that servant, fix me some food. What was he trying to tell them here? You may see something different, but I think he was telling them, make your master first. He is first priority. We're going to continue here. We're going to see another story that helps us understand this a little bit more clear. You are doing your duty. What is our duty as believers? Quite a few different things. But the one duty that I can think of as believers is to make His name great. When I make His name great, I lose focus of me, and the focus goes to Him. And as I make His name great, there's something that happens within me. We'll talk about that here in a second. Let's go to verse 11. Now we have the story of the 10 lepers. And as they continued to go along, and it came to pass, as He went to Jerusalem, that He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And I don't know, did Jesus look at them and they just didn't quite get it? They asked for faith. I'll continue to give them some more. And as He entered into a certain village, there met Him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So here we have the 10 lepers. They were a distance off because leprosy was something that they did not like. They were not allowed to come close to people. The old law said they couldn't get close. So these lepers yelled from a distance. Sometimes Jesus would go right up to somebody and he'd touch them and he'd heal them. This time he didn't. He called back to them. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. So what did they do? Very simple. They obeyed, didn't they? Jesus gave the command. They didn't question. All they did was obey. And they were healed. And one of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. The Samaritans were not looked up to. They were the bottom. Jesus, being a Jew, the Samaritan comes back, falls at his feet, thanks him, worships him first, and then he thanks him. Then Jesus asks him a question. He says, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? There were 10 of you. You're by yourself. Where's the rest of them? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. So where am I going at this morning? So we have the story here, the beginning here, where Jesus is giving them direction, make your master your highest priority. Now he comes to the second story here about the lepers. What did number 10 do? Who did he make the highest priority? Jesus. What were the opportunities that number 10 here had? He had the opportunity of going and showing himself to the priest. And as he went to the priest, he got the certificate that said, "You're whole." I'm putting this in my own words, my own thinking. But he got the certificate that said, "You are whole." He had the opportunity to go home to his family, to reconnect, to reunite family ties. Because when they had leprosy, they weren't allowed to be close to any of their family. Life stopped. He had all these things that he could have done. And it looks like possibly the 9 did. But number 10 came back and he made Jesus his priority. He came back, he fell on his face, and he worshiped and he thanked him. Jesus had to take first place in his life. Even though he was an outcast, even though he was like the little guy that was made out of the wrong wood, we thought. He came back and he made Jesus priority. There's something I want to see in this. Jesus was trying to teach the disciples faith. This man came back and Jesus said, "Because of your faith." He was giving the disciples a picture. You can forgive. Have faith. You can forgive. It takes obedience. But it takes making Jesus, making your master, the number one priority. Some of you probably know where I'm going here. If I'm going to make Jesus my number one priority, something's going to happen in my life. This morning as I was studying, as I was seeking God, I began to ask God, what is it, Lord, that I am holding back in? See, the word we're thinking about this morning is surrender. That's a tough word, isn't it? Surrender means that I make somebody else priority and not myself. Surrender means that I'm going to do whatever it takes to lift the one I'm serving higher than I am. And I began to ask God, the Holy Spirit, what are you in my life? I'm going to challenge each one of you to ask that question. But be prepared. Whatever He tells you, to give yourself to that. See, we have different points of view this morning. We have different perspectives. Some of us have the perspective, and I'm just going to speak a little bluntly this morning, because that's the way we understand each other. Some of us have the perspective this morning that above all else, I matter. So those are the lens that we put on. I matter. So when God asks something of me, I put those on. And that's the way I face God. Because I matter. Look at the man who came back and fell before the feet of Jesus. Did he matter? Or who mattered right at that time? Some of us have this perspective. It's hard to read from back there, I understand. We say yes when God calls us. But with a bunch of dots behind it. Yes, God, but who am I honoring? God asks us to surrender something. Yes, God. But then this is another one that some of us have. And God says, I want you to surrender this. And this is what we say. We say, I surrender. And God begins to work and move within us. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but this morning as I was seeking God, He asked me to surrender something. And I did. Surrender's not easy. It means I got to give up some of what I want. I'm going to name a few things here this morning. And as I name these, I want you to think about these three glasses that we have here. And I'm not asking you to share this with anybody, unless you desire to. But I've got seven things I'm going to name here this morning. I want you to really think through and ask yourself, where am I in this area? Have I surrendered or am I hanging on to something that is keeping me from full communion with my Savior? The first one we're going to think about is health. We want to be healthy. Some of us here this morning have struggled with cancer. I don't know if there's anybody here with diabetes. Yeah, we have some diabetes here. We have different issues in our congregation. I'm talking just amongst us right here. As we bring this issue to God, our health, I desire to be healthy. I love to work. I want to keep working. But am I willing in my health to tell God that, you know, you just let me be because I matter? Or am I willing to tell God, you know, yeah, but in a sense, I'm telling God I know better. Am I willing to put on the glass and said, yes, Jesus, I want my health. But above all else, I want you to be glorified. If it takes me losing my health for your sake, I surrender. Am I willing to allow Him to use my health for His name to be glorified? It's a tough one. It's a very tough one. My mom went through that. I would guess my mom was probably the most peaceable, the most happy. The most surrendered that I've ever seen when it comes to health. Mom laid in bed for many years, struggling with Parkinson's. We would come in and Mom was still smiling. She loved the Lord until she died. The next one we want to talk about is time. That's a tough one for me. I come home from work. I have things I want to do. What am I going to do with my time? Am I going to hang on to that time because I matter? I want to do what I want to do. Am I going to say, yes, God, but am I going to say, God, okay, I surrender my time to you. Whatever I desire to do this afternoon when I came home, if you have something different, show me. I surrender my time to you. The next one is marriage. God, I surrender my marriage to you. God's not going to remove your marriage from you. Let me be upfront with that. We struggle through marriages and sometimes issues happen. Am I willing to commit my marriage to God? Marriage includes relationships. God, I matter. So what my wife has to say, I'm above her. I matter. Am I going to say yes, but, or am I going to say yes, God, I surrender in marriage whatever you have, whatever you desire of me in marriage, even if it means I give up what I desire in our marriage? I say yes. I surrender. What about my job? That's the next one. We have jobs. We love to work. We love to make good money. We're Americans. In America, we got freedom to work. We got freedom to build our bank accounts. What if God begins to speak into your life and says, you know what? I have something different. Am I willing to surrender my job to God, knowing that He might remove that from me and give me something that doesn't quite, the paycheck's just not quite what it is now? Am I willing? Because the fact is, when God puts you in a place to work, He's got a special place of ministry for each one of us. I have yet, this is a challenge, and I say this with no pride, but I have yet to work any job since I live back here in Michigan that God didn't place somebody there for me to minister to. Ray, you're a truck driver. You're in your truck, but you have stops. Somewhere God wants to minister through you. Our job should be a tool that we use for ministry to make God's name great. Am I willing to surrender? Here's another tough one. Location. We have family. That's not fair, God. We have family right here in this area. And it's not fair that you ask me to possibly pack up and leave. I love my family. Am I willing to say, yes, God, I surrender, and to look through those lens, because I know God has something better for me? We went through location change. Was it easy? No, it was very difficult. We're back again. But I want to be so open to God that if He says, I have another one for you, that I say, yes, God. Or am I going to say, no, God, I matter. I'm not doing it. What about family? Am I willing to surrender my family to God? Say, God, whatever you want to do with them, it's okay. I remember years ago, when my kids were young, I prayed, God, whatever you desire of them, I give them to you. You want to take them to the other side of the world, do it. Am I willing to surrender those I have as family to God? Or do I have an excuse? Yes, God, but that means they're over there and I'm here. The last one I have listed here is probably the hardest one of all, because it affects every single one of us here this morning. Am I willing to surrender my finances, my money to God? If we were to tally all the money that's in this room this morning, I think we would be surprised at what we have here. None of us here this morning are poor. None of us. I work for my money, and I work hard. The paycheck that I got, I don't get handed to me. I work hard for that paycheck. And God, I'm somebody, I deserve it. Yes, but there's something I want, and I'm going to work hard until I get it. Or are we willing to say, okay, God, I will surrender. It's not mine anyhow. It's yours. We have an offering coming up, and I wasn't even planning to say this, but we have an offering coming up to help some people. Our harvest offering. What if we gave with the idea that we're on the other end of it and we need help? Perspective. Point of view. Are we going to be like the man who came back to Jesus? And they said, yes, you are first. Everything I have, my family, being back in society, everything that he had, Jesus was first. God doesn't say you can't have these things. That's not what he's saying at all. But I believe he's giving us a picture here of complete surrender. Complete full surrender to God is actually the safest life that we could ever live. Whatever may come our way, we are completely in his care. So just a very simple question this morning. Which lens are you going to wear? I matter? Yes, but? Or I surrender? Your eternity is going to depend on your answer. I've asked Aaron to lead us in the song at closing. Aaron, I can't remember what that page number was. 662 in the red books. And as we sing this song, I'm going to pray. And then as we sing this song, I'm going to challenge you. Ask God to speak into your heart. Is there something in life that you're hanging on to that you need to let go of and give back to him? He's not asking that we give something and he's just going to remove it from us. But he wants the first. He deserves the first. Would you stand with me, please? Lord, we thank you this morning that you are a deserving God. We're doing our duty, Lord. And we want to give you the best, the absolute best. Lord, not just a part of us. But Lord, we want to give you everything. Father, as we seek your face, I pray that you would put a burden on our heart for those areas in our life that we're hanging on to that we don't want to give to you. Help us, Father, to be like this man that came in faith and you provided for him. He was changed. Thank you so much for going to the cross and the pain that you took for us. Thank you for what you're providing for us in eternity. Oh, Father, we look forward to the time when you call us home, because we know it's going to be so beautiful being in your presence. So, Lord, draw us close right now. Speak into our hearts. We commit ourselves to you. We bless you in Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen.